And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you here with Brandon Irwin and Jessica Kerr. We've been talking a lot about healthcare because they went to D.C. and they protested in the middle of July and was a part of a lot of folks there. And we were just talking about some of the caller comments that we've had on this hour. And again, 785-537-1350 is the number to call. And this caller was talking about his gripes with the way the system is as far as sick care and health care. And I thought in talking about personal responsibility and, you know, trying to be in control of your own health and doing some of those things. And I thought there was a lot of interesting points there, because one way that I think we can make sure that health insurance costs and all those costs are lower is everybody is in the doctor line. That's one thing insurance provides, is you a chance to go to the doctor and hopefully check some stuff out early.
For sure. So one of the things that I keep thinking about and I keep coming back to is this idea of freedom, mm-hmm. you know, and what would it mean to be free, okay? And Brandon, on our, you know, we spend a lot of time together just in transit, he said, you know, I've got this quote, and health is freedom. And so to some extent, when you're sick, you know, you're not able to go and experience life. You're worried. You're thinking about, I mean, in this country, you're thinking about how you're going to pay these bills. And so what would it mean to have these kind of baseline qualities of life that are fundamentally based in wellness and well-being?
Yeah. And this isn't, I think there's a sort of false dichotomy here that you can't have quality, affordable, or even universal health care and be personally responsible for, or some degree of personal responsibility for, your health. Those are compatible with one another. And people have a really good incentive to take care of themselves, which is you get to enjoy your life. So I think that's a false dichotomy there. And Jess's point is a good one, that if you don't have health, then you don't have freedom, right? That is a basic, that is to me is a really intuitive and self-evident sort of truth. And in the world that we live today, health is by and large not achievable, or the optimum level of health that we can imagine and that people do actually achieve cannot be achieved without healthcare. Like, that is an essential part from the moment you're born, to the last day of your life. You know, healthcare is right there, and a necessity in order to maximize the quality of your life.
And one of the other things that, like, we tend to think about healthcare as is this notion of just like hospitals and like physical, you know, health. But when we start to think about freedom and health, it opens things up. And so one of the things that we're talking about post-DC is this notion of health equity. And that includes everything from housing to the food you eat and to, you know, safety in your community, engagement in your community. That includes your radio stations and your newspapers. Mm-hmm. Like, you start to imagine things about wellness and vitality and health in such a bigger picture, rather than this just sickness and paying for disease. I want that off the table. I don't want to think about that. I want to be able to imagine lives in which, you know, people from young to old can ultimately, you know, choose the ways that they want to spend their time.
And you really look at the cost of healthcare and why it costs so much is because, as a caller kind of pointed out, was a lot of the system we have now is geared towards you being sick first, mm-hmm. rather than you being a healthy person first.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why it costs so much, from, you know, the cost of prescription drugs to negotiating, you know, prices, you know, with, you know, health insurance, with the health insurance industry. But, you know, one of the things that's critical in my mind about the system that we have now is that I think there are perverse incentives, right? There's not really a clear incentive for hospitals or care providers, I guess I should say, or health insurance, the health insurance industry to keep people to keep people healthy, right? They don't, in some instances, make money if if the healthcare industry isn't
proactive, preventative,
and proactive and right. preventative.
I would also say, one of the things that we should all be concerned about as Kansans is just the lack of general care practitioners that we have in our communities. And this holds true, especially for spaces that are more rural than Manhattan. It's very difficult to convince individuals to go into general care practice because of just the sheer cost. And so we don't actually have the preventative services and the infrastructure in place here to keep people well. And ultimately, this forces individuals to have to use emergency care for things that they could regularly be seeing a doctor with. So then you're going in with, instead of having, some sort of concern, like something benign, with a stage four treatment that is much more costly to the system as a whole.
Brady Bowman here with Brandon Irwin and Jessica Kerr. And, I was talking with Trent Armbrust with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. I guess it was probably a few weeks ago. And it was something that he brought up at a Riley County Commission meeting, actually, was talking about how there is this shortage in the Little Apple when it comes to care and those services. We've seen a little bit of expansion with Via Christi over at the Old Ray's Apple Market. That's an area of town that's getting some access to some care that really they didn't have on that side of town. But even with that, we're still pretty behind.
Mm-hmm. So, thinking about this piece of legislation, this is done, for now. It's kind of cooled down. We're all not glued to our televisions and our radios anymore, particularly about this. But one of the things that Brandon and I want to talk about with individuals in the community about is this collectively imagining what it would mean like to have a healthy Manhattan. Like, what would it mean for people to be able to realize their fullest potentials here? What would that look like in terms of access to food, access to healthcare, access to public transportation and housing? And we want to be in dialogue with the community, all parts of the community, about this particular question, because it's going to take all of us, instead of scaling our energies to D.C. to fight or to argue about things in kind of a national level, we have a lot of power to impact what this space looks like for us, and that's creating community and civic engagement, and also potentially delivering things that we didn't have before to the people who we share the space with.
And that's another great point here to address one of the questions from one of the previous callers. I think it was the first caller who said, she wasn't getting the why of why we're doing this, and we made a very intentional choice before we went to Washington D.C. to sort of broadcast or share this experience in D.C. with the people in our community. So we set up a Facebook page called Living and Dying in Kansas, and Facebook lived, various parts of the experience in Washington, and gave people Facebook updates and all kinds of things to show them what it was like, and with at least one of the goals of starting this conversation. Like this what we're doing right now is actually one of the reasons why we went to Washington D.C. Like we recognize the need to have these important conversations that are, by and large, in my experience, and I think Jess's, are just not being had.
All right, let's go to another break, and we'll come back, and we'll have about 8 minutes or so left in this hour. We'll talk more with Brandon and Jessica on the other side of the break.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged,